Lord, thank you that we can be in your house as your children, your sons and your daughters. What a privilege, Father, to meet freely. And mighty God, we declare that we have come primarily to meet with you. And so, Jesus, we bring every heart, every mind, all our thoughts, all our emotions, and we just subject them to the will of God this morning. We say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Your name be glorified. God, I give you every word that comes from my mouth, Lord. Would you structure and ordain and bless this time together in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. If you hear that I've got a bit of a thing, I normally have about a half of a frog in my throat. This morning I've got about five of them, so I just have to, from time to time, just wrestle them a little bit, but they should be obedient. So just hang in there with me if I cough and splutter a little bit. So for this morning's message, I felt that I want to do, just talk a little bit around what happened last weekend. You know, sometimes we come in our consumer mode and we just like, we want more, we want new. And sometimes we would do well to meditate and in a sense, chew on that which the Lord has already come to do. So I won't attempt to preach any of Mangaliso's sermons again. I can't do that. But I felt we must just reflect a little bit on that which he came to hold before us. Because it's not every day that we get a visiting speaker in that comes and speaks into our church life the way that he did. And so a couple of things we need to do this morning is, I think number one, we need to recognize that what happened. And what I mean by that is Ephesians 4 helps us over here. It says, and he himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay, so the Christianese for this is the fivefold ministry that God, Jesus, raises up people like this to come and help us. Okay, they're called the bodybuilders of Christ. They come and support and sustain, encourage and equip us, the saints, and they edify us. And so what I perceive is that we had an apostolic figure. Apostolic figure is somebody that God uses to push the kingdom forward. So a person like Mangaliso has planted 30 churches and is leading a network. Those are apostolic figures. But often they flow in a number of the fivefold gifts. And so listen to one or two interviews around Pastor Mangaliso. He's an apostolic figure that flows in the prophetic. Okay? So he's an apostolic figure that flows in the prophetic. And so if you would have heard how he preached last Sunday, at times it felt a little bit structured. And he'd even tell us, I'm hitting this right now. And I think I'm done here, and now I feel the Holy Spirit saying we must do this right now. And then you'd say, oh, that was starters. Okay, that's what you call prophetic preaching. And not everybody can do that. But once you've grown and you've grown in the gift and the Lord's shown you that, that is how you minister. Pastor Graham sitting at the back often does that as well. It's when the Holy Spirit speaks to you in the moment and you're bold enough to go there and to speak that which you hear. Which implies there needs to be a living, spontaneous relationship between the vessel and God. Because otherwise we just start making man-made inspirations and it goes nowhere. The words fall on the ground. But when you as a vessel of God are able to empty yourself and you literally say, Lord, not my words, but your words, what are you saying to this church right now? And that was the amazing thing about watching Pastor Mangaliso. I felt like at times he was slightly distracted in the worship, but afterwards, having lunch with him, I realized what he was doing. He was writing down that which God was saying to him, because he told us everything he's speaking to him about what this church is about, what God is saying to this church. And so he's just All his senses are up. He's saying, Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying through their worship? What are you saying through their announcements, their people? And he's just making notes, and he's getting ready to give us a message from God. And we were really blessed with a gift that is able to risk and to step out and has had the experience and probably made a whole bunch of mistakes on other churches. And we get the benefit, you know, a few decades later of somebody who can accurately minister prophetically and still bring a prepared word. If you know what I'm saying. And so I just want us to acknowledge and become aware of that which happened here last week. An apostolic figure brought us a prophetic word. Okay, is everyone with me? As Mangalisa said, are we all together? Okay, it sounds about three of us are together, but it's all right. I can go with three. And so I want you to, and this is where I'm going with my message. I want you to realize that prophetic utterances were made over many of us individually. I know because you told me afterwards and I heard how the Lord was just kind of dialing your own numbers and giving you prophetic words, that he was moving from person to person. He doesn't know it's from a bar of soap. And the Lord's saying to him, this, 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 this. Is he 100% accurate? Probably no, because he's not perfect. Is he very accurate? He's very accurate. I've heard it from other shofar pastors as well. They say, sure, he doesn't know my congregation as well. As he starts going from person to person, he's giving prophetic words, and they are scary accurate. Is he superhuman? No, he's a yielded vessel. Is he spooky? Maybe a little bit, but all that's going on is he said, yes, Lord, I will go out of my comfort zone and be used by you. And so that happened for many of us individually sitting here, but it also happened for us as a church. And that's where I want to come to with my first point this morning is, what is this thing about prophetic utterances over us as a church? Are we going to be that church that rushes on and say, oh, that was nice, like I said in the past, we'll put it in the back pocket and say, okay, we want a new sermon? Or are we going to say, wow, Lord, you spoke last week. How are we going to steward these words? Well, God, if it was you speaking to us through a man or a woman, we're going to get to what prophecy is in a second, but if it was really you speaking to us, what do we do with your words? Or do we just rush ahead for the new exciting message? And so, I want to remind us of what prophecy is. Essentially, prophecy is a message from God. God speaks in various ways. He speaks through creation. He speaks through the Word primarily. That's the beautiful thing about our relationship with God. It's not like he's left us in the dark about who he is and what his will is. It's so clear. If we would take the time and sit on a chair long enough to read what he's saying to us. And then he speaks to us through many different things, and the prophetic is one of them. And we had people coming up here giving words. What are those? Is that because somebody needs mic time up here? No, it's somebody that's probably his heart is going, doof, 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 doof. Yes, Lord, I'll go. And comes and shares a word here because they feel the Holy Spirit is speaking to him. And that is the New Testament model. It's a multiple contribution model. I love it when Rian never comes up. I nearly got a fright this morning. Here he comes up. But I love it. I love it because God spoke to him this morning and he realized, you know what? This is probably not just for me. It's for somebody else as well. And so we are blessed and edified. And some of you sit there in the chair and you're like, wow, God's speaking to me through that person. And he is. But it takes some vessel to say, I will be the donkey you ride on this morning, Lord. I will be the dog. I will get out of the comfort zone. I'll be the messenger. I'll be the postman, Lord. And so prophecy is this beautiful thing. If we can just demystify it and get all the spookies and the glass and the smoke and the mirrors out of the back door and just realize this is God's way of communicating. One of them. This thing called prophecy. And it happened last week. And so let's steward it well. And just for a few minutes, reflect on what happened. So, 2 Peter 1, 21 says, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." What an incredible sentence. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. We're talking about authentic prophecy, because you get false prophecy as well. We're not going to focus on the false this morning, but be aware that you get false prophets. And then the word actually says test prophecy. And when you read Paul's things, you've got two or three prophets kind of, checking through all the prophecies. But no prophecy was produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That means there's something else involved here. It's men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That means that very often prophecy is spontaneous. Sometimes you'll get a prophetic word before a service, and you'll feel like, okay, Lord, you want to say this to that church. We often do this, and Jolene's really great at this. When we preach out and we pray for the churches before we go, we'll often feel the Lord saying this word or that word. But often, if you're bold enough and you're willing to go there, the Lord speaks to you as you take the step. And you say, I feel the Lord is saying, and if you're really bold, you start speaking over people. Those are normally the prophets, the people that are acknowledged as the office of the prophet. But prophecy, as you would see just now, is a gift, and Paul encourages us to pursue the gifts, especially that we may prophesy. Because one prophetic word can change a life. The number of people that I've spoken to, they've been changed by a lot of things. But I've spoken to many people where they're like, how did you know about that happened to me at that age? And like, I didn't know that, but God told me. And they know that, okay, God is trying to speak to me. I'm so far away from God. I rejected him many, many years ago. Yet he's reaching out to me through this person who doesn't know me from a bar. So it's God trying to get to me. And the walls slowly start crumbling, because they realize the motivation behind God's coming is a loving God trying to get to a lost son or daughter. Prophecy does that. Acts 2, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." Everyone say all flesh. "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." And so on the day of Pentecost, Peter says, no, these are men, they're not drunk. This what you see is what Joel said will happen in the last days. And it's still continuing until Jesus comes back. Men and women, your sons and your daughters, they shall prophesy. So prophecy is a gift for the church. 1 Corinthians 14, last scripture here. "Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy." And then he's got one or two teachings here. "For the one who speaks in the tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people," that's us, "for number one, the upbuilding," everyone say upbuilding, "encouragement, consolation." Somebody needed a word of comfort this morning. And God chooses his vessel to speak that word of comfort. Whether it's don't run away from God or run to God. Whatever the bit of comfort that you needed, God chooses his vessel. And you see, this is what happens when prophecy happens. There's upbuilding, there's encouragement, and there's consolation. The one who prophesies builds up the church. Okay. So as I've reflected on 2023, I've realized that it's been a year of a significant amount of prophecy over our church. You may not know this, but I don't think that we've actually in any year had so many prophecies over us as in 2023. And just to jog your memories a little bit. I mean, there have been a stack of prophecies. One of the first things that Jolene and I did when we took over as the pastoral couple, we shared with you before, we drove through to Hermanus and we went to the founders and Johnny and Tani, the Leslie Bell, just speak to us. Speak to us about what you did here for so many years. And they told us stories of Friday nights, how they'd go up the mountain and pray over the valley, pray for the church, what the Lord was saying to them back then. And slowly but surely, we started putting this puzzle together of what God has been saying over 4 decades. As we were praying at that stage as the elders team around, what's the purpose of this property? Because we got challenged on that. We got challenged on the real estate potential. And said, our leaders came to us and said, listen guys, if you're not going to use this, we're going to make a lot of money. And you can. You just look at what the Irvine are going around, you know, Franschhoek for. And we said, Lord, why did you give this property to this community 40 years ago when they were called the Boskerk? Okay, some of you would still know what the Boskerk is. It's not where we go Bos, we're in the Bos, okay? But we go Bos a little bit as well. And so we started praying about why did you give this property to this group, not to Shofar, but to this community. And so Johnny and Tani Delesti started sharing some of the words with us, and it all started making sense as they spoke about just the Lord stirring up the pools of water, the pools of healing, and how they would say people would come here. They believe people are going to come to our town, to our church, and ignite the torches. And from this place, once they've ignited their torches, they would run with the fire to the rest of the country. That's what they told us. That's what they prayed through the night, many nights. And so I want you to become aware of the fact that God gives us a heads up from time to time because we need it. Number one, because we forget. Number two, because we get discouraged. If you're like me and you're a little bit stuck in a real estate project or a development project, most of the time your hand is literally in the ground and you can't see the bigger picture. And sometimes you're like, God, did I sign up to do plumbing on the property? I never thought I'd become a plumber, but I'm a plumber these days. Wow. I was in economics and I was in this and that. These days I fix drainage pipes. And if there's a little bit of time left, I squeeze in some prep time for a sermon. But most of the time I'm chasing squirrels and fixing water problems and doing plumbing. I'm like, okay, Lord, are you still sure about this whole Franschhoek thing, Jesus? And then boom, somebody comes in and says, that which you are doing, fixing and restoring, is a prophetic act of what I'm going to do. And then he's good enough to send 2 or 3 individuals that don't know each other at all, and they all say the same thing in the same year. And you're like, okay, Lord, I'll fix my plumbing issues. See, that's the power of the prophetic. Because it's God encouraging you. The prophetic is for encouragement, primarily. To build up, to encourage, to edify, and to comfort. And so, I just want us to be good stewards just for a second. And just to become aware of at least, I'm going to give you a snapshot overview of the words that we've got in the last few months. I probably just have to reference Pastor Armo's word of a couple of years ago. And that one I've preached semi-blue to death. That the fact is the Lord said, we will lead many up the mountain into God's presence. And so we structured a lot of what we do around that. We have going up the mountain worship service. It just means we press into the presence of God. Because that's the first one. It's an important one. I remind us of 12 March, the launch of the Healing Center. I mean, Pastor Heinrich, we had the stuff transcribed. I've got pages and pages, but I've got 3 or 4 sentences here. This will be a safe place. People will come here to be refreshed, retooled, and realigned. Then he spoke about further phases. My wife nearly had a heart attack. Okay, further phases, more healing centers. We're like, okay, Lord, we will need to export what we have. This will be a city of refuge. There's a worship calling on this place. Church, watch over the simplicity and the purity of your worship. New songs will come, a sound for the nations. If you don't believe me, we've got recordings of all this stuff. Okay, so Pastor Heiner, then we've got this Pastor Rassi. Pastor Rassi Ferri also doesn't know us at all, comes in here, preaches amazing sermon, and but then gives us these prophetic words. He says, this place will be a healing hub. Okay? He said, Pastor, don't worry, there will always be provision for what is needed here. He said, the healing center, in Afrikaans will say, gaan nie vang net te wees van die kerk. Sometimes we think, what are these pastors up to? Why are they busy with all the rest of the stuff? As if they don't have enough work to do. The reality is the prophetic words that we are getting is we're saying this engine looks different. The people that we're going to reach and touch through this property are going to end up in this church for the church. And so I want us just to be aware of the fact that sometimes, my brain wants to go into marketing mode. Billboards outside, church this way, come in, a free coffee. We serve Turbidor coffee. Yes, we do. I want to go into marketing. How do we get bums on seats, people in the door? And God's saying, no. Leave all your corporate marketing background ideas. By the way, I used to head up the marketing team of Shofar as well for a few years. You can ask Juan there at the back. Let's leave it there. I know what to tap into in the flesh, in the natural. Except sometimes God's plan looks completely different. He says, no. We're going to do this one differently. And we're slowly starting to see a little bit of what he wants to do. And so we have an awakened ladies event. After we've had an awakened ladies event, we realize, oh my goodness, that was actually an outreach marketing event. We never called it a marketing event, never thought it'd be a marketing event, but it's marketing itself. You see, it's God saying, no, I want to get people healed here. And then you can relax about church growth and all that kind of stuff. That's not your focus. Not to get a full church or a big church. My heart is to get people healed in this place. You facilitate events that are conducive to that and watch what we're going to do in the kingdom. So Pastor Rassi was speaking about this. Then we got this random Indian worship leader. I told you that story. This is all happening like in the space of just a few weeks. I shared a little bit with you around that. He comes in and he says, I think he wants once again going to have coffee at a good coffee shop. Let me not mention that coffee shop again so that I don't favor anybody, but you know which one I'm talking about. So anyway, I'm wanting to get to the coffee shop. He said, have you got a guitar? I'm like, you don't want coffee? No, he says, I want a guitar. I'm here to prophesy of you. Okay, well, let's park the coffee. Let's do prophecy. And he comes and he takes my guitar and we're just three people here in the front and he starts prophesying over our church. And he says incredible things. I shared some of it with you last time. He said, God is giving this church a mandate to lead a throng of people to worship, to lead a multitude of people to worship Jesus. He says, the nations are coming to this place, and I am a sign of that from India. Then he says, be fruitful and multiply. Nations will proceed from us spiritually. A week or two later, Mangaliso is here. He brings a word on restoration. I didn't tell him what to preach on. I speak to him at the field. I show him the property and what we're dreaming about here. I start speaking to him about restoration. It's just like amazing how your sermon tied in with Franschhoek's history. And says, oh, what's Franschhoek's history? I'm like, you don't know. I said, no, this is the place where the Huguenots came to be restored. Like, really? I just realized, okay, God, you're sending us up here. You're sending different people here to say the same thing over and over to us. So number one, we don't forget. Number two, we don't get discouraged. And so Mangalisa speaks to us about restoration. He says, God has given us a bold vision. I don't know if you remember, we said, don't need to stress about the finances. I said, thank you, Jesus. Okay. Then he spoke about spiritual babies. Spiritual babies. I don't know if you heard that one. My son William got so excited, he thought he was getting another little brother. Near Buddha. These are spiritual babies. Okay, he's speaking about ministries that need to be birthed. Remember? Anybody that was here on Sunday night, how he spoke about projects that need to come out of us. And then he also said, and it does not end here, he spoke about other campuses. I nearly fell over. He said this will be a model for duplication. This is going to be a copy and paste model. People, how does he know that? That's exactly what Heinrich said. And so what I'm trying to tell you is, it's not Mangaliso and it's not Heinrich. God is speaking to us. What are we going to do with it? How are we going to steward this? We will lead in this area. The highlight, cherry on the cake, was when he said, we will become a mountain of the Lord. I'm like, a mountain. We understand mountain language around here. Like a harbor, people will come and dock here for healing. And then he also taps into this. New songs are coming. From the beginning, we felt that worship, healing, and revival are the key focus areas for us as a community. I didn't share that with Mangaliso, or the man from India. New songs are coming, sounds that will heal. The number of retreats we've had this year around new songs, they're the number one thing we're doing. We're having another one in October. 30 or 40 people again from the Shofar Band coming to write new songs in this place. Worship Awake came to write new songs in this place. This is what God has decided. And Mangaliso said, that is revival, the restoration of man. I don't know about you, but I feel encouraged. I feel inspired. I feel like God is saying, go for it. I told you so, go for it. Not to go into another revival sermon now, but as you study revivals, it is very, very interesting to see how the Lord gave them a heads up with a prophetic word before the great revivals. It's one of the key factors that you see how the Lord would speak through the prophets, the people that normally birth revivals, mostly a bunch of ladies willing to pray their knees through the night. And God is saying, this is what I'm going to do. And then once the revival has happened, they say, don't you remember that Sunny or Yanni or whatever, they brought that word when there was only six people in church and we all thought it's just another prophetic utterance, but it was boom, spot on. God is faithful to give us the heads up before it happens. The only thing is we only see it last once it's done. And so that's the power of the prophetic in the context of revival. And so, I want us not to be surprised. If a lot of stuff happens, who knows, it might happen this year, it might happen next year, it might happen in 5, it might happen when we're not here anymore as Richard and Jolene. But happen, it will happen. And then I want you to remember that Richard said, it's going to come. Because trust me, I don't wake up in the morning thinking of things to say to you that's going to tickle your ears. I try and tell you what I feel the Holy Spirit is trying to say to you. That's my job. To try and interpret the word accurately and not give you bite sizes of feel-good sermons. I try and preach the word accurately. And number two, I try and listen to the Holy Spirit and declare what he's saying. And so yes, you're going to get uncomfortable sermons from me from time to time, that's just because I'm trying to be obedient, not grow a church. And so anything is possible when we say, God, let your kingdom come. Because it's his kingdom. And so now, I want to come to the final point of this morning's message. And it's the last point that Mangaliso, or one of the points that Mangaliso touched on that I want to reflect on this morning. Remember when he said, he spoke about that Jesus did things and then he taught it. It was a demonstration and then he would often teach into that. And the difference with Jesus' ministry was the power was there to back up that which he was saying. Okay? Power was there. And then there was this discussion around what is the power? Where did the power come from? Did Jesus tell them before the time? What did he say? He must go, he said, go wait for the power. I'm going to give you a gift that you need to change the world. It's called the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's been prophesied. It's been prophesied many years before that in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit so that the kingdom can come. And so then it actually happens, but Mangaliso dropped this thing in. He said, he spoke about the waiting. Did you guys also pick up on that? He spoke about waiting. Waiting. Oh, how we love to wait. Everything these days is to reduce our waiting time. Have you seen a man or a woman in a queue when they forgot their cell phone? Don't know what to do with themselves. Because if we just got a second, we just got just check a few WhatsApps here. Oh, let's get a little Facebook or whatever. What do you guys do? TikTok or whatever. I'm so out of social media. What I'm saying is we're not comfortable with waiting for anything anymore. We're the McDonald's generation. Nothing wrong with McDonald's, okay? But we want it now. We want every minute optimized for our comfort and our pleasure. The problem is God is not like that. God is fine with waiting. We're the problem. We don't want to wait. Okay, so we're just going to talk a little bit around waiting for just a second now. The context that we obviously heard Mangaliso's message last week was they had to go and wait for the promise to fulfill their mission, which was the Holy Spirit. And so like he said, the end of Luke is the link with Acts. And so Jesus says, go and wait in Jerusalem. Okay, so he's very specific. Go wait in Jerusalem. Gaan wag vir die krag that I'm going to send you. And we all think, okay, so I suppose they just had to wait for a little while. And then remember the word says, and suddenly like a sound, like a mighty rushing wind, it came. So I suppose it wasn't that long. Who knows how long it was? Anybody? How long did they wait? Okay, I've got 10 days over here. Anybody else? See, we don't know. We just say, oh, waited. Oh, maybe 3 hours. This must have been long. No. Jolene's right. It was at least 10 days. Okay? 10 days. So how would you feel if I said, okay, there's a church meeting next week. It starts 8 o'clock in the morning next Saturday. And can we all be here, please? And somebody says, how long is it going to be? Well, I'm not quite sure about that one. It's we've just been told to wait. Okay, it could be minutes, hours, days, hopefully not months. You'd all be like, nah, you're kidding, eh? The reality is, how would we have done? Let's just go there for a second, okay? A morning becomes an afternoon. Afternoon, morning becomes a day. Like, okay, so we're going through the night, yeah? Okay, yeah, okay, I suppose. Let's push through. We can go through the night. Day two. Day three, we've run out of songs to sing and prayers to pray. And day four, half of us are hoarse because we lost our voices. Because we're really excited about Jesus on day one, you know. Because nobody thought we were going to wait this long. Day four and day five, like, this might actually take a week. Who would have thought? And all the while, God is comfortable with us waiting. Because waiting does something to us. Does nothing to him. He's outside of eternity. He's outside of time. He's in eternity. God is comfortable with waiting. So let me bring it home. We don't wait for the Holy Spirit anymore, okay? They waited for the Holy Spirit. They did the waiting for us, okay? We receive the Holy Spirit. So let's not get confused. We don't need to go and sit in a building and wait for 10 days for the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit. We pray for people. We lay hands on people and we receive the Holy Spirit. But there's something that we can learn about the concept of waiting. Because the word is full of examples of the servants of God waiting on God. Psalm 27 verse 13 to 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say on the Lord. Exclamation mark. Isaiah 40. I've just cherry picked a few. Yeah, there are many. Go and just Google waiting on the Lord. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In the morning, many of us are like, we fired up. We're already in fourth gear before we get out of the front door. And we just want to run for God, his kingdom, his purposes. Whatever, our relationships, the stuff we want to do, we're like Jack Russells that just want to be just released. And God's just saying, just hang on. Just come wait just for a few seconds before you get shot out here like an arrow. Let me just give you a heads up around where we're going today at least. Some of us are so eager to do stuff for God, but we major on the doing and we minor on the listening. Like, okay, so how exactly, God, are we going to do this? And what do you want to do? Who do you want to speak to through me today? And so it's this glorious invitation to come and do that which we are really bad at. Sit, not speak, but listen spiritually. You see, waiting on the Lord is also a discipline that many of us are not familiar with anymore. Yet we're invited to, and some of us, we wonder why we're getting this thing called burnout and depression, but we're just going. But the word says, but those who wait on the Lord, they will have strength. No, they'll be like eagles. They'll run, don't get weary. They'll walk, not faint. And we're like, Lord, that's not me. I'm half dead half the time. Maybe you should do a bit more waiting. And God said, no, let's channel all this excitement and energy for the kingdom, and I will tell you who to go and speak to when and how many appointments. You can't see 13 people a day and think it's not going to do anything to you. So we're bad at waiting on the Lord. You see, waiting on the Lord, it does a couple of things for you. It gives you God's perspective on a situation. It, in most instances, gives you God's instruction on a situation. But the most important thing is that you become aware of that which God wants to do. And he wants you to know, okay, God, that's what you want to do. You ask this question, how can I partner with you? Okay? That is the glory of waiting, is what are you saying, Holy Spirit, and how can we partner with that? And so for me, it's beautiful this morning when I realized, okay, Dirkie's actually started preaching my sermon. He didn't know what I'm preaching about because I didn't tell you guys yesterday on the WhatsApp group. But I can hear it because I already know what's been praying in intercession. Okay, Lord, you're just confirming that which I felt I needed to say this morning. And so we start getting stretched. That's the power of the prophetic. That's the power of the waiting. And so anything is possible, like I said, when you say, Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done. Something we pray nearly every Sunday morning. Lord, we give over the hands of our church service to you. And I shared my journey, my growth with you. I came here as Mr. Strategy. I came here as Mr. Spreadsheet 6 years ago. Mr. Program, Mr. Have every minute accounted for. We will not waste God's time. And the Lord has had to break off all those things from me. So that's fine. Do your preparation. I will bless your preparation. Give me the keys. Give me the steering wheel. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? And so it's been a journey for me. It's been a journey for me to take the hands off the steering wheel of a church service to God. Like, Lord, it's getting a bit later than what my program says. You should be busy with us for now, right now. That's been stretching. But then we should stop our prayers and we shouldn't pray, let your kingdom come. Then we should say, let Richard's program come this morning. That's a more accurate prayer. And so, let me just go there for a second. Touch a holy cow. Bump your neighbor and say, he's going there. Bump them again and say, you want to hear this? Okay. Oh, I warned you. Okay, so let's just talk about the length of our church services. Okay? People ask me these days, how long are your church services? And my honest answer is, these days, I don't really know exactly. Okay? And they'll be like, that's not good for business. That's not good for predictability. People want to be able to plan their entire day. Guys, I just shared where I come from. I missed the plan. It was written across my forehead. I like planning. I like predictability. It's kind of breakfast I enjoyed. But these days, if you ask me how long are our church services, I want to say to you, generally, it doesn't end before 10:30. Okay? And it generally doesn't go on much after 11, but it can be anywhere in between. And so it tickles me a little bit when you know I hear that many of us are comfortable spending an entire Saturday morning next to the rugby field or on a sports ground doing some kind of activity. And you know, these activities don't just have to be sports activities. They can be, couch sports as well. I don't know if you guys have seen what can happen to your arm when you pick up a remote repeatedly like this. You get a remote muscle over here. And this thumb over here, it's called the next episode muscle. It can get quite developed. And you can press it like that as you hit next episode, you know, net noche yeniki. If you know what I'm saying, we're fine with all of that, but we get hot under the collar if church doesn't end exactly before 11 o'clock. Okay, it's no amens to that one. It's all right. I've my own amen. So, and I want. Let me cough while Derek's also coughing. You see, the reason why I can't tell you, it's somewhere between 10:30 and 11, it's more towards 11, okay? The reason why it's like that is because I don't tell somebody, no, you can't bring a word because I'm going to upset somebody if we go on a little bit longer. Because my primary need and desire is to say, God, what are you saying to us? Through who this morning? So I don't phone people and say, can you bring a word so it looks like we've got this whole multiple contribution. It's happening spontaneously because it's by the Spirit. And so let's not fool ourselves. If we want to be Spirit-led, we're going to be Spirit-led, not Richard's program-led. Am I making sense on this? So if we come for God, then we come for God. If you want to come for a program, I want to say in this church, we're not going to give you a program. That's not what I signed up for, to give you a program. I'm trying to be obedient here and do what the Lord says. Within the bounds of respecting everybody's time and day. Okay, we're not going to go on here. I mean, I can't remember a church service that we went on till maybe 11:15. But beyond that, we're respectful of those things. And so I want to hold before us that, you know, that we need to be clear around this whole thing about waiting on God. Sometimes we will go a little bit longer because we sense the presence of God in worship and we stop to honor it. Because it's the reason why we came, to meet with God. That's how we do things over here. We come to meet with God. And so we don't put Jesus on a timer and say, Lord, you need to be done by 10:30. Otherwise, it's inconvenient for us. And guys, I want to say to you, if you need to leave, by all means, slip out the back. I'm not going to give you a personal greeting from the front. No, just slip out the back. You know, I understand people, we've got stuff to do, we've got lives to run, but we cannot get hot under the collar if church goes on a little bit longer or doesn't end 10:30 exactly. Because that's what waiting on the Lord is about. You wait until He says, I'm done, or I've spoken, or I've said what I wanted to say. Does that make sense? Okay. Hopefully I've not offended too many of you. That's what I felt the Lord saying to us. Luckily, Dirkie started all of this. So this whole comfort zone thing, waiting thing, it's all Dirkie's fault over there. If you've got a problem, just speak to Dirkie. If you want to fire anybody, you can fire Dirkie as well. Okay. There we go. Okay. But so, you know, I just want to close off with a testimony. We had our small group meeting, what is it, last week, Wednesday. Just had a request in our small group to come pray at one of the brother and sister's houses. It doesn't happen very often. So she said, yes, of course, we'll shift small group this week from our house to your house. And so I didn't quite know what to expect because we hadn't been to their house before. And so I thought, you know, it's going to be a short kind of, five minute little moment where we anoint the house, the new house, and we smear a biki willy, and we pray, and we hopefully there's a cup of tea, and then we go home. But it wasn't quite like that. And this is my small group. We love our small group. They're amazing. Not to compare them to any other small groups, but you know what I'm saying. And so I get there, and I hear music, and I'm like, sounds like there's a church service going on in this house. And I can hear it's not a CD. There's live music through a sound system. And so I walk in and I realize one of the brothers in the small group, he's got a PA system going over there with a karaoke thing going. And there's people already worshiping. I'm like, okay, we haven't really started yet, but you're worshiping. Okay, that's good. And so we start going into kind of spontaneous worship. Man, there's a table with so much cake and tea that you can feed the whole of Franschhoek with it. I mean, we're ready for the evening, okay? But all of a sudden, we start breaking out into kind of spontaneous worship, and one song is done, and there's Nochaliki, or sung Nochaliki, and so we went into this evening of worship, and I realized everybody knows there is a spread for an army there, but nobody's focused on the cook and tea. Everybody's come for Jesus. Everybody's come to meet with God and to call His blessing down on a new home. And I was so touched and so moved. And I said, yes, we're majoring on the majors, which is God. And ons gaan lekker koek en tee, ons het lekker gekoek en tee. But that was afterwards. The main thing was we tasted Jesus together. So I just want to encourage us this morning that many things are going to fight for our attention, our affection, and our comfort. And so, to latch on to Dirkie's point in closing, let's close our eyes. Let me pray for us. Our Lord, thank You that You've already been speaking to us this morning. God, we acknowledge it's not always comfortable, And we bring our hearts before you, because in the end, this is all about our hearts. We realize, Lord, our neglect and unwillingness, Lord, to be stretched and molded into your agenda, your timetable, your program, Lord, has got much to do with our preset ideas and our ideas and our perceptions of how things should play out and in which order and how long they should take. And Father, like that word came through this morning, we just want to surrender. We just want to surrender once again our waiting to you. Father, we remind ourselves that waiting on the Lord is waiting on the Lord until you speak or give instruction. And so I pray, Lord, that you would cause us this morning to step out of our comfort zones. Father, you don't force any of us, Lord. You don't manipulate any of us. But you lead us. And so, Lord, would you lead us to a place of growth in our waiting on you? God, would you be faithful to show us the stuff in our hearts, Lord, that kick and fight and scream against us, Lord? And Lord, where it's obvious to us and our hearts are ready for that this morning, Lord, we repent. We repent of that. And we say, change us. We surrender. Lastly, Lord, I also pray and I thank you for all the prophetic utterances that we have received. And according to your word, we have been inspired, challenged, comforted. And so we thank you for that this morning. I pray for us as well, as Paul wrote, that we would desire spiritual gifts. And especially that we may prophesy. Lord, as Mangaliso prophesied over us on Sunday night, he looked past me and Jolene and he said, behind you are the pastors and the leaders of the next church. Lord, may we all grow in our ability to hear what you are saying, because people need those words. May we become the ambassadors, the postmen of tomorrow, delivering your messages to those that need it. So help us grow, Lord, in the gift of the prophetic, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.